It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait!
Oh, fucking Buckner, the game! Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable! The Giants come to pass!
All the band is out on the field! He's gonna go into the end zone! He's gonna go out of bounds!
Montana looking, looking, throwing in the end zone!
You're tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Boe.
Game On!
Talking all things sports, it's
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Happy Friday to all of you here. Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning into Game On from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Josh Silberg. Of course with me, Mr. Eric Boe. How are you, sir?
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back, finally.
Well, I mean, I had no voice last week. It was the worst. I mean, and here's the thing. Speedy's been producing, and of course, Speedy Petey is here as well. Errol's in the studio, too, just looking around. Here's the thing. Speedy knows this. I've done the show with strep. I've done a show with COVID. No issue. I had no voice last week. None. It was completely gone. I couldn't do a show at all. But listen, we're here, and we're back, and you can check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com. You can check us out on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, Spotify, Twitch, Podbean, Apple Podcast, and so much more. And, of course, the smart speakers and everything like that. A lot to get into. We're going to discuss the New England Patriots documentary, Aaron Hernandez, and the whole issue that happened there. And I finally got to watch Errol is putting it on his phone. Is this something you want to share? Okay, just want to make sure over there. Peanut Gallery, just making sure. So we're going to get to the Patriots documentary a little bit later on. I finally got to watch the documentary a little bit about Aaron Hernandez on Netflix that Errol recommended to me. It's wild, the whole thing, and the whole how everything unfolded with the guy. I mean, the guy was it goes beyond just what he was outside as a person, his personality, but it goes inside the mind of him as well, and craziness and everything. So we'll touch base on that. The NFL, is Saquon Barkley officially gone from the New York Giants? And why are the Giants so high on J.J. McCarthy? We're going to touch on that a little bit later on in the show. But we begin, of course, and I did everything I could to get somebody on, but I knew it was going to be a very difficult, tough task to do today. But I believe John Lazaris will be on with us next week to talk about the NHL trade deadline. But, of course, it's a week old. We try. But, of course, listen, this is the NHL writers' holiday. Ooh. This is their holiday, the NHL trade deadline. And we thought by Wacky Wednesday and everything that was going on, all these moves were happening starting Wednesday. You know, also you're seeing Casey Mittelstadt go to the Colorado Avalanche. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are doing their what I think is worse than what the Tampa Lightning did. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, when they were fixing the with their salary cap, what they were doing is they were getting bottom six players. Nice players, but bottom six players. The Vegas Golden Knights are going head-on and getting Noah Hanifin and Tomas Hertl at this trade deadline for whatever reason possible. And then, of course, what pops out after the trade deadline is over, it says on NHL Network, right behind Errol in our room, oh, Mark Stone out for the rest of the regular season. What does that mean? That means he will be back for game one of the playoffs. And then you're going to have probably a top line of Jack Eichel, Tomas Hertl, and Mark Stone leading the charge for the Golden Knights. They'll probably win another Stanley Cup this year because they fixed the system there in Funland over there in Vegas, okay? They went high on the roulette table, and they hit it big with their trade deadline acquisitions. We know that for a fact. Now, did they need Noah Hanifin? No, they did not. Did they need Tomas Hertl? You could have gone away with somebody not as, as good, I think, on skill-wise as a Mark Stone. You could have gone away with it. But now Don't forget too, the Golden Knights are 2-7-1, I believe, in their last ten games. So they got to get it going. Adin Hill has been struggling. But don't worry, the Golden Knights will figure this out. They'll make the playoffs. The Colorado Avalanche hit it massively big for them. I said, trading Bo Byron away to the Buffalo Sabres. That helps the Buffalo Sabres out a lot. And they get their second line center in Casey Mittelstadt, who has had a good year this year. He's been pretty good. I think he's going to exceed the expectations now. In Colorado, he fits with that team perfectly. The Carolina Hurricanes make the big splash. Jake Guentzel. And, of course, they add a little bit. They sprinkle a little bit on with Evgeny Kuznetsov. So they get that, too. Now, a couple of questions you're going to have with the Carolina Hurricanes is, one, the goaltending thing. Freddie Anderson's just coming back from a blood clot issue. So we will see how he handles all that. Two, is the blue line good enough for the Carolina Hurricanes to be good? Brent Burns, of course, I believe being one of their top defensemen, is that going to help get a team by the second round, which they've had a tough time doing? And three, how will Jake Guentzel play without Sid the Kid Crosby? Will he be the same player? Because I can tell you, and Speedy knows this as a Ranger fan, we've experienced this before with a certain player named Vladimir Nemestikov, who they said was going to be the next big thing, Russian superstar. He's great. Goes to the Rangers, craps the bed. Why? Because he was not playing with Steven Stamkos anymore. And then, of course, they get Evgeny Kuznetsov at the deadline. The question will be for Kuznetsov, and this has always been the problem with him, is his attitude with the game. Hit, when the team is going well, he's all in, mentally there. When the team is struggling, he loses focus. Loses his psyche. Rob Brindamore will not put up with that nonsense. He will not. So Evgeny Kuznetsov, I would think he's going to thrive with the system. And I think he will do well. The Boston Bruins, you know, getting Patrick Maroon, doing a little bit of minor housekeeping there for the Boston Bruins. They really needed the center. Did they address it? Not really great, of course. But you get some nice depth pieces for them. They're the Boston Bruins. They're always going to be in it. I still think Swayman needs to be the starter full-time. I don't know why they're giving Ullmark a lot of these minutes. And I think they should have traded Ullmark in the offseason. I said that, too. My father is a huge Boston Bruins fan. He said the same thing. He said Jeremy Swayman's the better goalie. He thought they should have traded Ullmark after he won the Vezina. Because, the value was right there for them to just take it and get depth pieces because you lose Bergeron and everything of that nature. So you could have done that.
Carolina should have hopped on that.
Probably, but the problem with Carolina is their salary cap wasn't going to fit, and they just got Freddie Anderson back. I think they want to do right by Anderson. He's coming back from a blood clot issue. The question is going to be, is can Freddie Anderson lead the charge in Carolina? That's the biggest question mark. And again, it's the blue line issue with Carolina. Do they have enough defensive structure-wise, to be able to get past some of these teams, to get past a Florida Panthers, get past a Boston Bruins, a New York Rangers, and then other teams. If they have to play a Tampa Bay Lightning, it's like if they pass the Rangers, they're the number one team in the Metro, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are their wild card two team, or the wild card one team, they're going to have to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. Is that going to be enough for them, goaltending-wise, because they're not going to have that advantage against Vasilevsky? Same thing against the Islanders. Is it playing the Islanders going to hurt them? It very much, very well could. Because, again, Ilya Sorokin is going to have the goaltending advantage for them. Every series for Carolina, they will be at a disadvantage at the goaltending position. Florida with Bobrovsky. Boston, Swayman or Ullmark. Rangers, Shesterkin. Islanders, Sorokin. Tampa, Vasilevsky. So on and so forth. They'll have an advantage against Philly. They'll have an advantage against Detroit. Although I'll get to Detroit in a second. I don't think they did it at all enough. They should have done way more today than they definitely should. They had an opportunity. And then, of course, Edmonton had a nice one, getting Adam Henrique, although Speedy does think it was an overpay. I still can't believe that the Anaheim Ducks asked for Frank Vatrano, Adam Henrique, and they asked the Rangers for a first-round pick in Kaapo Kakko. What? For Vatrano and Henrique?
The New York overpay.
New York overpay? I didn't want Vatrano in the first place. Speedy knows that. Eric, you know that. Errol, I told you this. You kept bringing up Vatrano's name to me every day we talked, and I said I want nothing to do with him. It's an overpay. He's a good player, but look at his 5-on-5 numbers compared to his power play numbers. They're not there, and they're not great. So I think when you look at it, and everybody was... people were getting antsy with the Rangers and everything like that, you know, because they finished as the runner-up in the Gensel sweepstakes to Carolina. The problem with... And everybody says, oh, my God, that's all Carolina offered to the Penguins? That's a steal for the Hurricanes. The truth of the matter is, three of the prospects that the Hurricanes offer would be ranked 3, 4, 5 in the Rangers system. that's the reality. And they also sent Bunting in the deal. Bunting's a 60-point player who's already in the NHL. So the Rangers, unfortunately, it was not going to happen with them. And again, now I want to clarify this. I never said they were getting him. I said the Rangers were interested. Okay. But the Rangers head up with Jack Roslovich. So that was a nice move by them to get a nice... He's been playing on the first line for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's had 4 goals in the last 7 games. So he's 6'2". He's a fast skater. He's 27 years old. I think the Rangers needed a little bit of more speed and size on that top line with Mika. And with Kreider, they get Alex Wennberg to fill out that third center role. So you hope now that Kako and Will Coley now can take over that third line with Wennberg. That would be nice. You now move basically Brzezinski and VC now move down to the fourth line, which is where they are known. We're going to miss Matt Rempe. I'm not going to miss his skating ability because it was embarrassing. But, of course, you like the fighting stuff and everything like that. But
I want to miss that.
It's not going to fit. That doesn't fit in the playoffs. It does not fit in the playoffs. That's why when the Rangers had Ryan Reeves 2 years ago, he was scratched in a couple of games. It doesn't fit in the playoff time. It doesn't work. And then the big news...
The other team's best player, just send Remke out, go fight him.
And then the big news for the Rangers is Jacob Trouba is going to be out for the next 2 to 3 weeks, which, again, could be a positive for them. That's why they got Chad Ruedel from Pittsburgh, which was a good move for them because he's a stay-at-home defenseman. I think what they'll do is they'll keep Lindgren Fox. They'll probably put Ruedel with they should put him with Schneider when Trouba comes back, and then go the route of they'll put him with Miller. They'll keep Schneider with Gustafson, and then when Trouba comes back, it should be Ruedel with Schneider. But it was an interesting trade deadline day for the last couple of days. I think Vegas shimmied the system, very much so. Also, Anthony Duclair going to the Tampa Bay Lightning. That was a nice move by them. I like that move. That kind of fills out that top line with him and Kucherov. And Stan, I don't even know who's a number one center now for them anymore. But fun day today. Eric, what did you think? I called you Eric and Errol mixed on that one. What did you think of today's action in regards to what was going on today?
Carolina, I think definitely some winners in some of those deals. But again, still some big holes there. But
and don't forget too, Dallas too getting Tenev. Was a nice right, Speedy. I would say that was a nice move by them. They fill out the because their defense is so underrated. Dallas. Everybody's saying because Colorado and Vegas made all the sexy moves.
Right.
Dallas made the one move. Dallas is they're right there. You have Ottinger. Now you have a finished blue line and everything like that. I like where Dallas – I think the team that's winning the cup is coming out of the West. It's going to be Vegas, Colorado, or Dallas, or even Edmonton now. I think that's what's going to happen. I think there's two good Florida – I even mentioned Florida. Florida had they got Tarasenko and they got Kyle Poso. I just need to see how they fit with Tarasenko, how he'll fit with that team, because it looks like they're going to put him on the second line. Oposo's going to be a third line player now, so they did Oposo a favor, Buffalo, by sending him there and everything. But yes, you were saying though.
I think the two biggest losers though of the deadline, unfortunately, my Detroit Red Wings. Definitely one of them. Should have done more. Could have done more.
They should have. The Eastern Conference. Errol would agree. Speedy, you would agree. The Eastern Conference. I think this hockey season, I think this is as wide open as I can remember a hockey season being, where I don't think there's any definitive number one team in the league. I think there's about 9 or 10 teams. Florida, Boston, Rangers, Carolina. You want to throw Tampa in there for experience. You could, if the Islanders get hot, Detroit, Dallas, Colorado, Vegas, Edmonton, Vancouver, all of these teams, you know, if you want to throw Toronto in there, you can. All these teams in there, there's a bunch of them this year that have a shot. Mm-hmm. And that's why you also notice there were not many big, big names on the market this year like they normally are. Like last year, you had Tarasenko and Kane thrown around. And then, you know, the year before that, you had Ricard, you know, you had Ricard Raquel and going to Pittsburgh and everything like that. And then this year, there was not that big name, but you were saying.
But I also think one of the teams you just mentioned, I think, is the other trade deadline loser, Toronto.
And yes, Snug, that is half the league, and that's why I said the league is as wide open this year as it's ever been to win a cup. Every team I mentioned is a playoff team that's in the playoffs. There's not one team that could fall short. You don't think the Islanders could get into the playoffs with Sorokin and make a run at the final? You don't think that, you know, as long as Edmonton gets their goalie situation straightened out, they could get hot with McDavid. And those guys, you don't think Colorado Dry could get saddle. Back there with McKinnon? You don't. How about Tampa? Because everybody's writing off Tampa. I feel like I'm the only one that's not. Because when you have Vasilevsky, and you have Kucherov, who's having an MVP-like season, and you have Braden Point, who's going to score 40 goals, the quietest 40-goal season, and you have Victor Hedman, who is the healthiest he's looked all year, and they made a couple of moves. The thing of it is, when you have those that core four, as I say, Point, Vasilevsky, Kucherov, and Hedman, and I'm not even including Stamkos, you got a shot. Got a shot. Now, again, it's a matter of would Vasilevsky, him staying hot. He's been a little bit iffy. But, again, I said this before the show started. The Rangers are the number one team in the Metro right now. Tampa, I believe, is the number one wild card team. The Rangers would play Tampa right now.
You know what?
I'd rather be the number two seed and play Philly, and not even touch the Lightning if I don't have to.
It's gonna be what team is the hottest at that point?
That's what it is. It comes down to who's ever the hottest goaltender. Go look at last year, right? Aiden Hill won a Stanley Cup, and it's perfect timing. And I know you mentioned the Toronto Maple Leafs too. They got. You know, they got Lyubushkin, which was fine. They need so much help on that blue line. They really, really, really do. I mean, they got Joel Edmondson, which is somebody I wanted the Rangers to get. But, again, I didn't think, Weir Riedel would have been available for Pittsburgh and everything like that. But it's to me, I think this was an entertaining trade deadline. Again, you didn't have the sexy names like you normally have. Like last year, you had Tarasenko and Kane just thrown out there and everything like that. So, uh-oh, he's closing the door. That's it. He's closing the door. But, yeah, and like I said, Speedy, you're a hockey guy. Quickly, do you want to chime in? What were your thoughts on today?
Well, yeah, I was physically... I should say I was not physically prepared, but I was emotionally prepared. But nevertheless, I think the Rangers, like you said, they've made good...
He goes right into the Rangers. I love it.
The quality moves for the depth pieces, I think, will help. Because I think if you get somebody, like you're saying, Gustafson, who's been kind of up and down much of the season, more down in the second half of the season to go along with the depth of Ruedel with the experience. Roslovic I like because he could play both center and wing, good offensive player. And Wenberg was somebody I wanted when he was with Columbus. So that's definitely the impact depth pieces the Rangers needed. As far as some other teams, like you're saying, the Vegas had to do this kind of thing because they weren't the same juggernaut they were last year.
I know they had to do it, but Speedy, let's call it like it is. This is
no. I agree with you on that.
We're past the juggernaut at this point. This is turning into Godzilla 2000. Oh, yeah. At this point, it's ridiculous what they're doing.
Are they the Dodgers of hockey?
It's the way they manipulated the system 100%, and the cap's going up next year too. So in the end, it's. I mean, I think this is the end of. I do think this is the end of Marchessault in Vegas. I think this is going to spell the end for him. But yeah, you were saying, Speedy, about what Vegas was doing.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I agree with the loophole. I think that should have been taken away with the Lightning doing it, too. And they're going to manipulate. Now, even with some of those guys, I don't know how like they'll match up. Because like you said, this Western Conference is as deep as it's ever been. The other team I think that you didn't mention that I still like was Winnipeg, too. With hot
That's true. I was going to say, and look what they did. And look what they did.
I like their trade deadline
a
lot.
Did you see what they got? They
two players from the Devils, and they also got Monahan.
I love Tyler Toffoli. Getting that was – Monahan was good. I actually thought, I said to myself, I said, boy, if the Rangers can call the Devils and try to pull off a title, because everybody was like, oh, the Rangers and the Devils won't deal with each other. What are you talking about? They traded Michael Grabner to them a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think that kind of thing is more of a baseball thing.
That's not
really
a
as much a
hockey
thing.
No, but it would have been, I think Toffoli would have been, the guy I really wanted the Rangers to get, obviously Gensel would have been nice, but the realistic ones I wanted were the two guys was Alex Tuch and Riley Smith. Mm-hmm. I was banging on the table for Alex Tuch. I'm like, I'm hearing the Rangers are talking to Buffalo about it. Can Drury pull this off? And the truth of the matter is, we saw last year as a Rangers fan, Speedy and I, 2 years ago when they did under the radar moves, Andrew Kopp, mm-hmm. Frank Vetrano, they did these under the radar, not big name players. They got to the conference finals. Last year, you get Tarasenko, then you get Kane. And you're doing this whole thing. And it was a mitigated disaster. Mm. So you don't need the biggest names at the deadline to make something happen, to get hot. You don't.
Eric, I hope your Red Wings are enjoying Andrew Kopp.
God, he is awful. Oh, my God.
Larkin will turn around.
And I wanted the Rangers to resign him.
I did say at the time.
I didn't want Vetrano.
No, I didn't.
You know how I feel
about
Frankie.
Bring him out to Detroit.
You know how I feel about Frankie. Everybody was banging on the table. Frankie Vetrano, we need to trade him. Get the first round pick for him. He's an all-star this year. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, Vetrano's a nice player. He's not worth the first round pick. He's not worth Capocacco. And you add him and Enrique on that one. That's a more ridiculous thing. Getting Wenberg and, oh my God.
Roslovic.
Roslovic is great. And I think Rubio's the best move of all of them. He's the best move of all of them because he's still playoff experience. I believe he won a cup with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think his first year.
First year,
yeah.
Won a cup with Pittsburgh. He's a stay-at-home defenseman. The Rangers need more of those guys. Mm-hmm. They have too many. Like, they need more grit on the blue line. I don't think Keandre Miller, who it's going to be interesting. I think they should look at the trading Keandre Miller in the offseason. I don't think he fits what Laviolette wants from his defenseman, right? Which is hit hard. Go after the puck, check with your body. Miller checks, he uses his stick too much as a defenseman. Tell me if I'm right or wrong with that one.
I think, yeah, fundamentally sound too.
He doesn't use his, he doesn't hit. Yeah. He uses his stick. And he's got to stop doing that. And it's bothersome because he gets beat all the time down the ice with that. Like Lindgren, Trouba, they try to do what they can. I'm looking at the top line, so it's going to be Tarasenko, Barkov, Reinhardt, Tkachuk, Bennett, Verhaeghe, Listerson, Lundell, Rodriguez, Oposo, Stenlin, and Cousins. See, Oposo on the fourth line, though, is like, I don't know if that's going to be great because that's more for the sandpaper and grit players to be on the fourth line. I don't know if Kyle Oposo should be on that fourth line.
Maybe,
I mean,
maybe if it doesn't work in Florida, they'll cut him and he'll go back to the Islanders.
Oh, God. But anyway, I want to get up the hockey schneid. I'm sorry about your Red Wings. They are still in it, though.
Hey.
But they lost Dylan Larkin for 2 weeks, which is a killer.
Rough. Rough.
Yeah, man, listen.
It's not like he's the best player in the team or anything.
Well, I mean, I will say, I mean, Patrick Kane's doing very well for them.
He is.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Again, the playoff time is going to be fascinating because right now the playoffs would be, hold on a second. Before we get on to the football, I want to get what the standings. If the playoffs started today, I'm going to get in a second. Okay. So the matchups in the Eastern Conference right now, Florida would play Detroit. Boston would play Toronto. Par for the course. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Florida would play Tampa. Boston would play Toronto. Carolina would play Philly, and the Rangers would play Detroit.
There we go. There's the matchup right there.
I would love. Wait, can you? I signed up for that matchup in 5 seconds. Did you see them on TNT 2 months ago when they beat them 6-1?
I must have missed that one.
Oh God! And then in the West, you got, if I'm not mistaken, here we go. Okay. So you would have, the first round matchup would be crazy. This would be nuts. Vancouver and Vegas. That's wild. Dallas and no. Yeah, then Dallas would play Nashville, Winnipeg would play Colorado, and Edmonton would play LA. Would play the Kings
for the third year in a row.
Right, exactly.
Have we seen that before? You say it. I feel like we have.
So those would be the matchups. I tell you, the Florida-Tampa one would be very intriguing. The Vancouver-Vegas one would be out of this world. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Vegas is going to catch up to the Kings, and the Kings will fall to a wild card spot. I mean, I think the Western Conference teams are pretty much set at this point. Because you're right. Oh! Yeah, no, I'm correct. Sorry, I'm right. See, it's so confusing with the way this is set up. No, yeah, I mean, you still have Calgary's not in it anymore. Seattle's not in it anymore. They dumped everything. St. Louis, they're not really in it. I think the teams are pretty much set. It's the Eastern Conference that's... I think you have the top four that are set. Florida, Boston, Rangers, Carolina. It's everybody else. What happened? His phone again?
Nothing. No, I was trying to see if it was that phone, if anyone was calling.
Oh! No. But listen, let's get to the football. I want to get into the whole thing with what's going on with the Apple TV docuseries, The Dynasty with the New England Patriots. It's fascinating because after watching the episode recently with the Aaron Hernandez stuff, you had Brandon Lloyd, who's a friend of the network here. He is a friend of the network. We would love Speedy. You do me a favor. I'm just asking you for this one thing because clearly when I reach out to people, they don't answer me. Would you be able to help me to reach out to Brandon Lloyd at some point?
I will attempt it.
Thank you.
He has come on our show a couple of times. He's not like the fastest one to respond, but when he comes on, he's fantastic.
No, I would love to get him on and get more of an in-depth look. I even want to try to get Deion Branch on at some point and try to see what he is thinking about. And because they were the close, Lloyd was, his locker was next to Hernandez, and Deion Branch was as close to him as anybody on the team, but nobody on the team hung out with Hernandez outside off the field. He had his crew, mm-hmm. Which everything like that. And it really is fascinating when you look at the whole, I just got done with the whole deflating of the footballs. I just got done with that episode and everything like that. Brady was interested. Brady said he so wishes he went. He was in media classes before he went on the. He went to the presser that day. The whole Hernandez thing is so fascinating, and I'm watching this docuseries alone, and now I kind of see why Belichick does not have a coaching job, because he's kind of like a get off my lawn type of person. It's weird when you see it that, and again, this documentary is so making Robert Kraft look like $1 million when he's really not that person. So we need to like. Pump the brakes on that. Mm-hmm. He's not that person. He also used the word snickered, which I thought was hysterical. I haven't heard that word in years.
Can you use it in a sentence?
He said about Aaron Hernandez, he goes, I felt when I was talking with Aaron, I've never been so snickered in my life. I was never snickered like that in my life, he said. I was like, oh my God. Okay. But it's an extremely interesting documentary about everything that's going on from when they first started and they first began with Brady being this kid. Drew Bledsoe's in it the first few episodes. Bledsoe felt duped by the Patriots. He felt like he got screwed because he lost his job. And remember, Drew Bledsoe won the AFC Championship game the first time. Brady was knocked out of that game against the Steelers, and Bledsoe won the game, and Brady played in the Super Bowl, and it was not Bledsoe, and Bledsoe felt betrayed by the Patriots. But I just think the whole series is just fascinating, just to watch the in-depthness of all the different players from all the different time periods of this team and how everything was going. Like Mangini is talked about, but he's not in it. Brandon Lloyd talked about a story about Tom Brady screaming at Aaron Hernandez on the practice field to get off the field because he was acting like an idiot. And they had film footage of Brady yelling at him, telling him to stop and get off. Because, like, Hernandez was, like, in his flip-flops, flipping the football around, calling Belichick daddy 24, like, nonstop. And Brady was so annoyed by it. Like, Wes Walker is in it.
There's some interesting takeaways from it.
Teddy Bruschi has talked about it. Mike Vrabel was in it a little bit. I'm trying to think who else was in it. That Darrell Revis was in it. It's a very it's a surprising thing when you see these players. Like I said, like Brandon Lloyd was a massive part in that episode of Hernandez. Gronk is in it at the beginning of the episode. Basically, Belichick called him during draft night when Gronk got drafted. He's on the stage dancing around, and Belichick calls Gronk to tell him to get off the stage. And then you see Belichick, when they drafted him, he said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." Like, he's like, "What did I get myself into?" And everything like that. Well, it's I mean, look at
personality.
Yeah, I mean, and it really is an interesting doc series. I recommend you watching it, Eric. I mean, I know you've seen a little bit of it and everything of that nature. What are your thoughts on how it's played out so far and what you've learned, especially because you've seen a lot of, you know, with the Giants. The Giants are there's nobody that's interviewed from the Giants in it, but they're like, like Rodney Harrison talks about the Tyree play and all this stuff.
No, I got to catch up on a few more episodes, but I like how in depth they actually go. A lot more behind the scenes stuff that you wouldn't expect or you wouldn't see. Like that's the part that intrigues me more. You know, just the stuff that you wouldn't think of. Like, oh, that's what happened behind the scenes. You know, so I think that part's cool. The whole Hernandez thing. I mean, it's just you hear everyone interview about it.
I've watched the series of him being inside jail and how he was. He had a male lover in jail that sets us off, and this is why he killed Odin Lloyd, they said, was because he was afraid he was going to out him for being bisexual, all this stuff. It's just...
There's a lot of craziness with it.
It's a whole... I mean, that episode. I mean, you just hear Dion Branch, just the way he talks, because Branch was also his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And Branch literally says the words... When he got caught, he says, "What do you think was going to happen, bro? What did you think was going to happen when you did this? What do you think you were going to have happen to you in your life?" Huh? And it's like Brandon Lloyd would say, "Don't hang out with Chico." That was his nickname. Chico was Hernandez. "Don't hang out with Aaron. Don't hang out with Aaron." None of them ever hung out with Aaron Hernandez. None of them did. And this whole thing was just... It's a great series. If you have Apple TV, I'd recommend it. I'm on episode... Like I said, I just finished the Deflategate stuff. So I'm now on... I don't even know what the next one is. I got to watch it. I think we're getting close to the end of it, kind of. But it's good, though. But getting to the NFL free agency stuff. We know the franchise tag period has come and gone. And we know this. Saquon Barkley, not tagged from the Giants. What were other big-name players that we saw that were not franchise tagged? Speedy would know better. Who were some other shockers that you didn't...
Christian Wilkins was the other big one.
From Miami. Yep. I'm surprised. I don't understand that one. I'm trying to figure out why they didn't franchise him.
No, but also, too, does not mean that they will sign elsewhere.
It's going to be difficult.
Exactly, but doesn't necessarily mean they're out the door.
I think there's a lot of... I know you're referring to Barkley. I know you are. And no, you are. Stop.
Maybe.
I think the problem has been the Giants and Barkley's relationship the last couple of years has been very hot-headed, figuring out, you know.
He's been the offense, though, past couple of years. And you know what? He wants to be paid.
I mean, I could see a team like Houston. I could see Houston. I could see Philly doing it.
I could see the Chargers really doing it.
Chargers could do it. They're letting Eckler walk. aren't they getting rid of Khalil Mack?
I think they're trying to.
Speedy, just leave the headphones on.
That would have to be a trade.
Correct.
I mean, how many sacks did he have last year?
17.
I'd take him. I'll take Khalil Mack. What do you want?
Zach Wilson.
We're losing Bryce Huff because the Jets are so stupid. They're not gonna let him walk. And by the way, how about all the safeties that got cut? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Simmons, who else?
Don't forget about the great Jamal Adams.
Oh, and Quandre Diggs, that whole bit.
Byard?
No, but yeah, Byard was... Byard was not franchise tag. I guess Jeffrey Simmons just recently. Mm-hmm. There was another recent big one that didn't get. He got let go too, didn't he? Try to remember. Speedy, you would know.
Oh, Gardner Johnson, I think, from the Lions.
No, I know CJ did, but there's another one.
Eddie Jackson, I know, got cut by the Bears earlier, a couple of weeks ago.
Who else? Who was another one that got cut recently? He had a very good season for them, too, and they just got rid of him. Oh, man, I forget what team he was on.
Trade deadline specialist, Kevin Byard.
No.
Trade deadline special.
Please. Oh, stop.
Such a huge move that was. Worked out well.
I can't. I gotta look. You guys talk about it. Who else is there that didn't get franchise tagged?
Derrick Henry.
No, I'm talking about safeties.
One that's gotta get talked about. I'm just saying.
Well, the safeties weren't gonna get franchise tagged.
No,
they're not. That's a... For that level of a price, you really have to be versatile at this point.
Right.
I know Simmons got it. I know.
Simmons was the best one that got.
Yeah, he's probably. I'm hearing the Packers are probably he's gonna go to.
I can see that.
Jordan Poyer. It's another one.
From the Bills.
Thank you. Thank you. who was it? Just both of them just got
Hyde or something.
Hyde, and who was the other one?
And Poyer.
Jordan Poyer. What's wrong with Poyer? You don't like Jordan Poyer?
He's old and injury prone. He's going to get a one-year deal from a team.
Well, I mean, Errol thinks Chuck Clark's going back to the Jets. I'm telling you, when there's a robust safety market like this, I think it's kind of hard to... Also, if Jordan Whitehead, that's going to be a free agent. I mean, they have Adams already. They got to fill out the other spot. But, I mean... The entire Buffalo Bills defense has gone.
It's gone.
Tre'Davious White's gone. Micah Hyde's gone. Twin Poyer's gone. Von Miller restructured the whole contract.
They had no choice though. They had the window of opportunity.
Oh, man.
Salary cap sitting.
I think they're
even with that. Well, did we ever talk about the salary cap increase?
Yeah,
how tremendously
huge.
That is. I'm just saying. That's.
Well, I think the biggest thing is too, and then even I think Miami losing Wilkins.
That's huge.
That's huge for them because they already had a pretty not great defense as it is. I feel like when you have this issue, it's a problem because the Dolphins are making a side of the football that's already not great weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of your, you know what I mean? The problem is, where is Miami going to get the first off, their rush defense was it was already mediocre. This makes it a million times worse. But who are you going to replace Wilkins with? I guess it's going to have to be in the draft, right? Probably. But I don't.
The former Buffalo Bill is signing the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, look, you know, it's to me, I don't know. I mean, Wilkins, that's a huge. I don't know. Where do you think he'll end up? Like a team that needs a defensive attack? Well, I mean, the Jets that you want, but they can't afford that.
I mean, there's...
Maybe they do hoops around something.
San Fran?
They don't have the money. And they already have...
Restructure.
The Niners do not need defensive tackle.
No, they need another pass rusher to help Bosa.
They need
cornerback help Bailey, which is what they're going to do in the draft.
Houston would also be another interesting one.
Houston would be good with Anderson. With Will Anderson on the right side or left side, you put him in the middle. That would be nice.
You add him to the Raiders or Lions.
I was thinking the Raiders too.
Raiders would be good with Crosby. Yeah, I mean,
there's a couple of fits.
There are.
Who wants to pony up though?
And then you have the NFL draft, the combine that just recently happened, and you're looking at the whole. And I just, to me, I get a vision of where my QB rankings are.
And what are they?
I've watched them play all year. Speedy watches a lot of college, too. I know you do as well. Speedy and Eric, you can disagree with me after I'm done. I have Penix 1. He's my number one guy. I have Jaden Daniels 2. I have Drake May 3. I have Caleb Williams 4. And I have McCarthy and Knicks. You could flip flop it. Blah, blah, blah. You want to flip flop them? You could flip flop them. That's my rankings. Is Penix 1, Daniels 2, May 3, Williams 4, Knicks and McCarthy are tied.
That's interesting. I mean, Penix definitely 1 or 2.
He should be, because absolutely. Here's the thing. Everybody talks about, oh my goodness, he had these two amazing wide receivers at Washington. Hello, did you see what he did at Indiana? A crappy football program that he made relevant for the time he was there? In the Big Ten?
I don't know, but who's getting the most hype right now? Is it number six?
It's probably...
5 or 6.
I mean, it's probably...
Right now, JJ is getting a lot of hype.
He is, and I think that's a problem for whoever's going to draft him.
What you think is who?
Giants. I definitely could... Tell me I'm wrong. Is it not... You're both Giant fans. Is it not in the back of your mind that McCarthy's going to the Giants, possibly?
Sad truth.
Thank you.
Yes.
It is!
But you know what? You know what sounds so interesting, though, too?
None of this, because it's a disaster if this happens.
I don't know, Speedy. You tell me.
It's a disaster if this happens.
What is your...
Caleb Williams, if he goes one, he's going where?
He's going to the Bears.
To Washington. Washington's going to trade up to number one.
No, they're not!
I have a weird feeling.
They're not. They're not. And I'm telling you this. You want to know why? And I'm so glad you said that, Speedy. And I'm glad you said this. Here's my theory. You ready? So Ryan Poles is the GM of the Bears, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's the thing. The Bears only get one crack at this, what everybody is calling a can't-miss prospect in Williams, right? Right? Isn't that what people are saying? He's a can't-miss prospect. He's great. He's awesome and everything like that. Yeah. Meanwhile, I watched him against Notre Dame. I watched him against Utah. You know, he does the F Utah and paints his nails, F Utah. That worked out well. He sucked against Notre Dame and he cries for his mom after losing to UCLA. Having said all that, the reason why Ryan Poles has to take Caleb Williams is this. As the GM, Fields has been very mediocre with the Bears. Yes or no?
Sure.
He's been mediocre.
I don't think he's gotten the right opportunity, but that's a
He's been mediocre. He's been mediocre, and I actually like Fields. I don't mind Fields. But he's been mediocre.
Chris, where he's going.
You have an opportunity to draft what people are saying is a otherworldly prospect. If Poles does not take Williams, trades the pick, keeps Fields, Fields stays the way he is, which is mediocre, Williams goes somewhere else and thrives, he's out as GM of the team.
Assuming how Fields does, though, with a revamped team, though.
Here's the thing. They revamped the team last year.
But wait, what?
Right. They were so bad when he first came in as GM, and they revamped the
team. I'm talking about Fields.
I'm talking about the Bears roster, though.
Do you realize Fields' numbers were actually worse with his yards per completion, yards per attempt, yards per after the catch with DJ Moore? Than he did the year before without DJ Moore.
Okay, and hence
that's a problem.
Coordinator,
that's a problem.
So what happens when the opposite happens though? If they get Caleb Williams and he doesn't live up to his hype,
yeah, but you
guess
can't,
what?
You
he's out anyway.
Here's the thing. Yes,
you're telling me.
Yes, because here's the thing. If he keeps Fields and Fields is not good, okay, Fields continues the trajectory that he's on, which is a medium middle of the road quarterback, and Williams goes somewhere else and he thrives. People are going to look back at Ryan Poles and say, what the hell were you thinking? It was right there for you.
Yeah, but what if the opposite, too? What if Williams, same thing.
Because here's the thing. You know what Fields is on this team.
Right. You don't know what Williams
I don't know. Exactly. Williams.
And if he
but right now, who has
well?
A higher ceiling? Williams or Fields? Who has a higher ceiling?
That's hard to say because it.
And also, don't
Williams
forget.
Has not played it down in the NFL.
And
yet.
Also, don't forget.
Fields hasn't really had the best coordinators
and here's the other part. Here's the other part you're forgetting. The other massive part you're forgetting. Williams would be on a rookie contract. Fields, after this year, he's got to get the player option, which is like $20-something million. And he stinks. You're going to give him that option?
Somebody will.
And Williams, they didn't pick him? Then the Bears have. No quarterback. None. And they're stuck. Now that's a problem. Now you have no quarterback. Williams is gone. Fields is not great. And if you got to pay him the option. He's but I'd rather take the chance. No, you're not, because you're taking the opportunity and the chance on a rookie contract to have a better shot to build the team around you more than you would with Fields. That's the thing. Fields has shown, I think, what he is. He can't throw the ball very well. He can't. He runs the ball around
when
a lot. That's great.
He has no time, correct?
Yes, but he runs great.
When he has time, what does he do?
Doesn't do that much. Look at his numbers with the throwing completion percentage. Go look. Go look at his completion percentage.
He's also been the most sacked quarterback since he's come into the league.
That's fine. Okay.
It's weird.
Yes.
It's a weird stat.
But here's the thing, though. If you get Caleb Williams, so here's what you do. You then could just take an offensive lineman and that later draft pick. And you help Williams. And then you could build in free agency. You can go get a wide receiver. Another one to pair with DJ Moore. Because guess what? Caleb Williams is on a rookie contract, folks. You're not going to have to worry about giving Chase. Because if Justin Fields does what he does this year, again, they're not paying him the $20 million option. And Williams is out. So they got no quarterback out of this.
But they still could get all the draft stock to build up the rest of the team to make it an elite overall roster.
Yeah, but here's Harrison. The problem, though. But here's the problem that you're missing. Yes, you could build it with the draft picks. I get it. But here's the thing, though. Justin Fields, I don't think you could take the opportunity to really take the risk on this time. Because I think Fields is showing what he is, which is a nice quarterback.
A quarterback who's under pressure almost every
play.
That's
fine. But here's the thing. He finally got a better receiver this year, and his numbers were worse than the year before. How is that possible?
He has a coordinator now who also just revamped Geno Smith's career.
If you could
revamp Geno Smith, you could revamp Justin Fields.
There's a little bit of a difference the way the Seattle Seahawks. Let's also talk about the head coaching with Pete Carroll, number one. And let's talk about the organizational structure.
Let's also talk about the Bears' running game, because you can stack every play. You're gonna stack 8 in the box, right?
Yeah, probably with Fields, it's easy.
No, you're gonna.
You can stack 8 in the box because Fields is probably gonna run. Is he gonna throw the ball past 10 yards?
You're not worried about the running game.
I'm telling you guys, they're gonna take Caleb Williams. They have to do this. I'm sticking to it. They have to do this. They have to. You can't take the chance, because if he stinks, They can't give him the $20 million option, Fields. And now you're out a quarterback completely. And guess what? Next year's quarterback draft is horrible. It's awful next year. So they have to do this year. They have an opportunity here. It's an easy decision for them to make this.
They have a great opportunity to get even more.
And here's the thing. By the way, let me ask you this question. Why has Justin Fields' market not been robust as we all thought it would be?
Because the Raiders are not a team that doesn't know what they're doing, and the Steelers are the Steelers that are old school.
That's not about that. It's because a lot of teams in the league, a team like the Falcons, a team like that, they want to trade high draft picks.
The Falcons want Kirk Cousins.
That's
if they
fine.
Miss him,
but they also don't
Fields.
Have a lot of. They don't want to trade high draft picks for him because they don't think he's worth it. And if he stinks, they don't want to give him the $20 million option, Speedy.
And we're still far enough away from the NFL draft.
That's fine. Here's the part. He's not worth $20 million of an option. He doesn't move the needle for you. He's a nice quarterback. Okay? He seems like a very nice human being. In the words of John Elway, I'd introduce him to my daughter. I wouldn't have him be my starting quarterback. What he said about Tim Tebow. It would be the same thing about with Fields.
So, as an example, Fields goes to Denver, for instance.
Okay.
How does he do? Better or worse than what he was in Chicago? Because let's look at Russ. Russ was cooking.
Oh, no. Don't say that. Oh, no.
He was cooking that first half of the year this year.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Say he goes to a Bronco team.
I miss that.
Is he doing better or worse?
I mean, he also, let's be fair, he did have Sutton and Judy and some players and Font and fans and all those guys. He did have nice players.
Fields, the same type of players. Does Fields do better or worse?
I don't know. Because the thing is, right now we've seen what we've seen from Fields, and this is a massive risk. But listen, if you're the Bears, I would do it. I would trade him to Denver. You want him? Take him.
See, Denver's tricky though because
Denver's tricky.
No,
they had it in the bag.
To make the money work is tricky because of the whole Russell Wilson.
Situation. That's their fault. 100%. It's the worst trade in history. It probably beat the Herschel Walker trade. It's probably the worst trade in NFL history.
Oh, the Deshaun Watson's kind of.
I don't know.
We'll see how that goes.
Did you ever see what was given up for Herschel Walker? Did you ever see what was given up for him?
It was multiple
first round picks.
It was also the pre-salary cap era.
It was multiple first round picks. A lot of picks that were given up for him, and a guy that never was even close to what he did after he got traded. They never knew. But anyway, I digress.
That's the fun of it, though, Josh.
And I have nothing against Justin Fields. I'm just saying, if I'm Poles, I can't take that chance. I have to take you build the team on the rookie quarterback with the rookie contract. That's how a lot of teams are doing it now.
All right, so would you say Fields in the bottom half of the NFL or top half, quarterback-wise?
God, I think he might be in the bottom half right now.
You're saying there's 16-plus quarterbacks you would take ahead of Fields.
All right, if you want to count for me, you can count for me.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I got my toes ready, too.
All right. Allen, mm-hmm. Mahomes, Herbert, Tua, Love, Purdy, Jackson, Rodgers, Hurts, Prescott, Cousins. Let me see. I had to think more.
That's 11.
That's 11.
Five more.
I know. I had to think.
You're going to say Kyler Murray?
No, I hate Speedy, how do I feel about Kyler Murray? Oh, CJ Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
That's 12. That's 12. I think who else is there? Oh, right now, with the way he played before he got hurt, Richardson. It's Anthony Richardson. Had a great year before he got hurt. I would take Watson over him, too. I'll take Watson. Burrow. I didn't even mention Burrow.
Watson.
I would take Watson over Fields, 100%. Easy. Fields.
Fields. Yes. Definitely Fields. Thank you.
Burrow.
You can stop counting now. We're good.
Burrow.
15. You got it.
No.
15. Yep.
No. Hold on. Burrow.
You said Burrow. Exactly. 15. I would say top half. You proved the point.
I'm trying to say who else. I said said Lamar already. No, seriously. I have, how many is that? 14?
You were at 13.
13? All right. So 13. Mac Jones. No, just kidding. Carr. 14.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
like a struggle right here. I'm just saying.
Not really, because it's pretty freaking close to where I'm getting at.
You got some questionable ones in there.
The quest to do two more quarterbacks.
I just gotta get one more, and then he's 16. We said second half.
Which is 17 through 32.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We put Geno, because Geno's been in the playoffs.
So, wait. You're going to take Geno Smith over Justin Fields?
Possible.
No. All
right, fine. I won't put Geno on there.
Yes or no. You're taking Geno over Justin Fields.
I don't know. His Jets fandom is being questioned right now.
I hate Geno Smith. I don't know what you mean by question.
No, I know. That's why you wouldn't put him that high.
The Watson one made me kind of...
Look at this. This list has him 25th overall.
The injuries...
This list has him 25th. They have Daniel Jones. They have Geno Smith 21st. They have him 25th. Oh! That's what I missed. Baker. I'll take Baker over him. Yeah.
Okay, one more.
Okay, Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, you forgot Trevor Lawrence. Okay.
And there you go.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he still said
this list.
14 before.
No, you needed two.
This list is. He said Justin. Here's the list they have. Before. They have Mahomes 1, mm-hmm. Allen 2, okay. Lamar 3, Burrow 4. I'd swap that. Prescott 5. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rodgers 6. Herbert 7. Herbert's going to be top 4 this year. I forgot. Oh, my God. I forgot him, too. Stafford. Yo, you guys have, there's like 18 quarterbacks ahead of him.
Good, now
you can, I don't have to name Geno Smith.
At least you can move Deshaun Watson now into the bottom
half. I don't even have to name, don't even get me started on Kyler Murray. How dare you bring up Kyler Murray? I said he's an absolute bust when I started this freaking network with Speedy and Errol. And I got ripped to shreds for 10 minutes. You want to say Daniel Jones is better than... Fields?
No. Okay. Giants would be better with Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah. The Giants traded back. They got Kadarius Toney and Evan Neal.
Do you think Russell Wilson is better than Justin Fields?
At this point, no.
Okay. You were thinking about it because that's close to it. Because then that would be 19 then for him. That list had him at 25th out of 32. I'm just throwing out.
You know what? You're in the same boat with Justin Fields going to the Giants.
Hey, listen.
You're under pressure every single play.
Hey, listen. There's a reason why I'm in this chair. I'm just saying.
See, Eric, here's the alternative, though. The Giants traded back and got Kadarius Toney and Evan Neal, though.
There's a reason I'm in this chair, baby.
Gettleman's finest.
How about Joe Flacco? Joe Flacco could be better than Fields.
He had a magical run.
I know he did. That's what I'm saying. You want to add him on the list, too? Boy, no. Boy, he's in the 20s right now for me, Fields. Boy. And you all want to trade Justin Fields. You all want to keep Justin Fields and drop the number one overall pick. You all you are all on drugs.
What was Russell ranked?
21st. Fields was 25th.
But didn't you just say if Fields was on the Broncos team, he'd be a little bit better than Russ?
No, I never gave a definitive answer on that one. I think it could work.
What's the definitive answer on that then?
Okay, I want this to be clear. You both are willing to miss out on a possible can't-miss prospect for what a lot of lists have him as the 25th overall best quarterback in the league. That's what you want.
No, I'm saying, what are you going to be able to do to build your team better?
You will be able to build it better because you'll be on a rookie contract.
Are you better taking and keeping the one pick or trading the one pick?
No, you're better keeping the one pick. It's a no-brainer.
Let's see what they do.
I know. All right, well, we're at the, man, let me tell you something. You both are on, whatever cupcake Snugger is sending you, let me have some of that crap because I want it. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, that was something. I literally named like 19 quarterbacks better than him.
Yeah, but you also just said Caleb Williams was your number what? 4 quarterback in this draft?
Yeah, but I said that they're not going to take Penix with the first overall pick. Okay. Let's call it like it is.
No,
they're going to take
I get that.
They're going to take
your 4th ranked quarterback.
This is like when the NFL draft came out when Zach Wilson was there. I said Zach Wilson was I think the 4th best quarterback behind Lawrence, Fields, and who was the 3rd one that was?
Trey Lance.
Yeah. I said Lance was better than Wilson. They both suck, so it doesn't even matter. Who cares?
No, don't worry. The beef wants to trade Dak. Are ready to start Trey Lance now?
Are you kidding me? He wants to trade.
He actually said that.
I know he said it. He said to me in the phone conversation, he wants to trade Dak for Zach Wilson. I said, please, I'll drive Zach to the airport. Let's do it. I'll pay for Zach's ticket. He could sit first class to Dallas, and then he could be with Jerry Jones, who's trying to play, by the way, you know, he's trying to deal with something else with his, you know, long-lost child that he just found out about. So we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Time for the year better than that segment. And, oh, boy. This was a great show, man.
You lead us the way, Josh.
Oh, man. Well, the year better than that segment is this. I want to give a year better than that to Errol Marks. The dude needs to understand the difference between saying it's happening and thinking it can happen. There's a difference, okay? When you're saying something is happening, he or she is definitive that it is happening. When you think it can happen, there's a possibility, but you're not guaranteeing it from your standpoint. So understand the difference between the two and figure it out, get it together, and have a definitive answer, okay?
Yeah, don't
so when you say to me, oh, and Speedy was on the phone call, there it is, Josh thought Jake Gensel was going to the Rangers. Did I say Jake Gensel was going to the Rangers?
No, you just said they were in the running.
Thank you. And he says Josh said they were getting him. No, I did not.
Chance to. Oh.
Wow.
Hmm.
That's a tough one.
So there is the definitive answer you need to have figured out. There's a guarantee and a possibility. Big, drastic difference-making decisions that you need to understand because they both start with different letters for the words.
Eric, to put into perspective, Josh has come a long way since our friend Carl created the Josh Silverberg Rumorville.
Listen,
in 2021.
Still exists.
You're right. Still exists.
Don't worry. It's been supplanted by the guys that thought that Shohei Ohtani was going to the Blue Jays.
Still exists.
First class.
But Errol Marks, you're better than that, my man.
Ooh.
Go for it, Eric, because I'm disappointed in somebody. And you know what? Is he even still here?
I don't know. He either fell asleep or left.
Wow.
I have no idea.
I kind of touched upon this the last time I was here, too. No. I'm not going to talk about the uniforms. That's a different story.
Yeah, please don't, because you could see their junk.
But same thing with this.
You could see their cheeks, man.
And you know what? Let's make the lettering smalling. Let's make the lettering smaller on the back.
Yeah, I know.
That's fun, too.
Yeah,
but how do you have?
Wow, look at all that they added. I didn't even mention Anthony Manta. I'm sorry, Eric. That's crazy that the Vegas Golden Knights.
Please do go on,
Anthony
Joshua.
Manta, man. They added that, and they got draft
Red
picks.
Red Wings legend Anthony Manta,
and they got draft picks out of that. Yeah, go on. I'm sorry. Disgusting.
Sleep.
Ugh. It's gross.
You ever have a co-host who, in the middle of a segment, just not? Anyway, how do you have the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner not signed this deep into spring training? Is it going to be like Rodon kind of thing next year or this year? No spring training. He's going to start it late. He's not going to get ramped up till later on in the season. So you're kind of messing with his whole prowess and being able to start and doing everything right away.
And by the way,
so basically,
Jalen Brunson is in the lineup tonight.
Boom. So basically, I'm just going to say to co-host who interrupt while in the middle of a... No, I'm going to go that one. But yo, listen.
You can't do Josh three times in the last 5 weeks.
You're right. I gotta turn it around.
You can say the hell you want. I don't give a damn. I got my piece out from Arrow, so I don't give a damn.
No, I do have to say
that. You haven't used Arrow yet.
We got to figure out what's going on and get these guys signed. You know, come on. Come on, baseball. You're better than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, God, Tomas Hurdle's on the freaking Golden Knights. That was a joke.
Gracious.
By the way, World Series for the Mets is back on. They beat the Yankees last week. The World Series is so back on for the Mets. We're back. Back in the New York groove.
Oh, yeah. You know who's going to be the Adrian Hauser?
That's
maker.
Let me tell you something.
Let's go.
That guy. Oh, and by the way, I figured out your clause for the Cole contract. There is a clause. So hold on.
Please
do
go on.
I am. I'm gonna explain to you. If I'm the Yankees, I would not do this clause. Here's the reason. So the clause is this: Cole can opt out. The Yankees, if they give him a $10 million bump, he is going to opt in. Here's the problem. He's guaranteed 5 more years with the Yankees and pitched till he's 39 years old. Really? Really? You're okay with that? Speedy, would you be okay with that?
Oof.
5 more years until he's 39, getting paid, what, $40-something million a year? A pitch, you'd be okay with that? No.
You know what,
from somebody that just got over Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander?
Yeah.
It's not okay. It's not okay. It will not work. And in that stadium, it will definitely not work.
Maybe not to year 5, but maybe year 2, 3, 4.
Has it worked? But how many years has he been there so far?
You opt him back in.
But how many years has he been there so far?
3 years out of those.
How many years has it worked? How many years has he been there so far?
4.
Okay. Has it worked any of the years so far?
Has it worked?
Yeah.
Did he not just win it at Cy Young? The offense was trash.
What do you want me to tell you?
It was the offense was trash.
That's 100%. Not... Well, listen, that's what happens when you invest so much in maybe 2 or 3 players.
Eric, we just have to roll with the reuniting of all the Yankees pitchers and Mets pitchers with the Texas Rangers theory again.
That's right, man. Let me tell you something.
Garrett Cole to the Rangers next year.
If I'm the Yankees, I would absolutely 110% not invest in that. Definitely would stay away from that. Go get somebody else.
Like
you could get somebody else.
Sign Juan Soto long term.
Well, Juan Soto's 26.
I know.
Difference.
Juan Soto.
He's gonna look great in a Met uniform next year.
Hates being in the Yankee uniform.
He's gonna look He's gonna look great. Listen, like I said, the Yankees are borrowing him. Mets will keep him.
Has there ever been that kind of player between the Mets and the Yankees, though, that like this caliber where.
Yes, Robert Ventura. Mike Stannon, pitcher for the
Yankees. Like you're counting him in the Mets uniform already, and I don't know, man. I'm still cautious. If it's about money, yeah, probably. But if it's just liking...
Oh, if it's money, dude. Scott Boras is his agent. It's about money. Come on. Stop.
You're right.
The Mets are going to offer Soto like an 11-12-year deal worth like $550 million, and I'm going to be so mad about it because I'm going to be like, the year's fine with it, but, yo, that money is absurd. What are we doing?
Let's see.
And why are we doing
this? Ohtani set the market at 7. So
well, Yamamoto has not pitched well, by the way.
Maybe 6?
Yamamoto has not looked good in his 2 starts so far. Yamamoto's been... He has an ERA of 9. By the way, really quickly, if I'm a Yankee fan, do you want to know who I'm really, really, really concerned about right now? Who's a very nonchalant kind of person right now? Carlos Rodon is extremely nonchalant with his answers. And if I'm a Yankee fan, I would punch him in his face.
It's more the reason why Blake Snell needs to come.
Let me tell you something.
Number 2.
By the way.
You can't have Rodon
as
a 2.
Just to let you know, and I'll give my dad credit for this. He noticed this. He was watching the game. His miles per hour is near 3 miles per hour down.
It is. Oh, his
something's wrong.
His velocity's not bad.
It's wrong. Something's wrong with him. But it's so funny. At first, he says during batting practice, it was against our guys. I'm okay with it. And then he was like, yeah, you know, you don't like doing that, but hey, it's spring training. You're trying to work things out. Dude, you're throwing a 91 mile per hour fastball. What the heck do you think was going to happen?
If that's the case, he's got to become a pitcher and not just a...
I don't know if he has Relic. I don't know if he has the attitude to want to be a pitcher.
Yeah, don't do it, Noah Cinder.
Oh no! Oh no!
On that note,
we're done, ladies and gentlemen. Please check out all the other great shows we have here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network, such as the Sports Loudmouth, the Weekend Crunch on 103.9 FM, the LI News Radio Network, with of course Errol Marks and Speed Pete. You can check them out at 7 p.m. on Saturdays, or after the Islanders games, check out the Wise Guy. Check out the Herd, which should be back soon. I would think Speedy, they should be back soon, which is good. Check out. We have other shows that I'm the betting show, of course, can't miss that, and other of course our show here at Game On. So we have some great shows here that we're always having on here. Check us out on worldsportsradio.com, X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, Twitch, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and all smart speakers out there. Yes, you can check out Kenny's show too on Sundays at 12 o'clock. Snug. Okay, there you go. All right. Jesus. Speedy Petey, always a pleasure. Eric, my man, I missed you.
Sometimes a pleasure.
We need,
right?
We need consistency, and we're gonna start to get that now, right, pal?
Do it.
Start to give you the mama bliss.
I was getting 2 sentences out, and then I was hacking up a lung. It was insane. You lost your voice.
Like I said, to those that had a great trade deadline, congratulations to you.
And those that didn't?
Sucks to be you. For Eric Bo, for Speedy Petey, for Errol Marks, not distinguishing the difference of words, this is Josh Silverberg. Turning out. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy it. We'll speak to you next Friday. This is Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.